Young Lydia was at preschool, and Miss Jones was going through a book, and there were various animals, and they all took turn. And one said bear, snake, and it came to Lydia's turn, and Lydia just was quiet. And Miss Jones said, "I'm really surprised at you, Lydia. You live on a farm with animals." And Lydia said, "I'm not sure whether it's a South Down or a Suffolk." Now, for those who don't know, that's sheep. But if you can put the picture on the screen, guys. But there are... Do you recognise these people, though? You know, I mean, I could show you a dozen pictures of different breeds of sheep, and I'm sure you wouldn't get hardly any of them. But, you know, we've got Johnny Wilkinson up there, Chris Hoy, Eddie Simmons, the Paralympic swimmer who won 2 goals last year, and she won at least 2 goals this year, and Andy Murray, of course. Now, part of this passage, you've got like a sporting element to it. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12, "Let us show off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Now, it's not the only passage in the New Testament where there's a sporting connection, and Paul is quite good on them. And in Acts, he says, "If only I may finish the race, 1 Corinthians, run in such a way as to get a prize. Everyone who completes in the games goes into strict training. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly." And in Philippians, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards." And there are others as well. Now, whether you like it or not, sport fills and feeds our news bulletins. It fills up the back pages of our newspapers. It fills up quite a lot of TV scheduling. And looking at it, I thought there's quite a few parallels here between sporting endeavour and the race and what our own spiritual journey is like. And a lot of you have got husbands, friends, even fathers who will sit glued to the television watching sport. And sometimes it's quite difficult to know how to bring up parallels of what we're doing and what our faith is about. And I just thought we could just explore a few of these items as to how we might relate to those who don't understand anything, really. And if you can just bring up the list, guys, of I've produced here a list of potential attributes which you, or steps you might be taking if you're going to try to be a sports star. And they're not necessarily in the right order. There were some two columns coming down. And I had to produce the list several days ago, so one or two things have changed a bit. And you might have just changed them around, but it all starts off because somebody introduces you. You know, it's often a parent or a friend. Some of the sort of the golfing stars, you see them doing pictures of hitting balls unbelievably at a young age. But, you know, if you're 80 and start, don't worry. You're young in eternity terms. You're young. All you need to do is start. You need to be encouraged, nurtured. You know, Jill Murray had Andy knocking a racket around when he was 3. You know, we need that encouragement. And it's something you have to engage with, something you've got to enjoy. And obviously, if you're a tennis player or rugby player, whatever else, you have to have ability, you have to have aptitude, but also you need to have an attitude. Now, when I was 18, I gave up playing rugby because I just wasn't heavy and strong enough, the position I played. You know, I couldn't be a prop, 11 stone, and I was propping against somebody who was 14 stone. Just didn't work. But here in this church, the ability, I see some of our youngsters, and they're quite precocious in their spiritual talent. Really are. You know, it just leaves you just... But, you know, you look at Ellie Simmons and the sporting. But it's not only about physical attitude. It's about, for us, it's about the attitude of the heart. That's our ability of our heart to love. It's the attitude of our heart. So you guys from, we have every week from the Laurels, we love having you here. We really do. Because it's the attitude of your heart that we love it. You know, no matter how restricted you are by mobility or because of age, it's the attitude of the heart that really matters. But when you're starting out as a sportsman, you have to start having a dream, a vision. I mean, who wasn't a kid who played in the back garden and thought, oh, I'm David Beckham or I'm Ted Dexter or whoever else? But we need to dream where we are going. It's a choice, isn't it? We choose where we're going. And often in that journey, we're inspired by others. But at some point, we have to start taking teaching, instruction. But also you need to do, you need to practice. You don't get any good unless you practice. And the more you practice, you realise there are disciplines. You know, the athletes get up and they're out running at 5 or 6 in the morning. For us, we need to get often out early as well. But it's Bible reading and it's prayer and also other disciplines like worship as well. The athletes often run around with training partners to help them go along. Who are our training partners? You guys, aren't you? You're our training partners. No matter how old, how long you are, whether it's home groups, it's the fellowship, your training partners. The athletes, you know, will often have times when they become ill, they get injuries, and they can't perform. You often hear when the medal winner has got his gold medal or silver medal or whatever else, that they've done amazing things to get there because they've had to overcome. Now, we all have difficulties, but what we have to do like the athletes is to have a goal, have our eyes fixed on where we're going. They have a dream of where they're trying to get to, which gets them out of that hole. They go on training camps. Well, some of us go to, a few people go to Faith Camp, Spring Harvest, New Wine. But if that's getting past you, there's still things like day conferences, there are retreats. They're available to anybody at any age. And the athletes or the sports people, they have to keep raising their bar, their focus. They keep raising it. And we need to do the same. They have to adapt to change. They get a new coach, don't they? And they'll say, you've got to do things this way around, or this way around to get better. We have to adapt to what our coach, the Holy Spirit, is wanting us to do. It's adapting, changing all the time. It's to get better. And they, like us, have to overcome fears and gain self-belief. When I used to play cricket at school, I used to love bowling a guy who was a nervous batsman because I knew I had him. You know what I mean? You knew you had him. And fear is a great big enemy. But these sports people, what they also do is they have rest periods. They need time, and so do we, for our spirit. We need body and spirit need time to recharge. You can't go flat out all the time. Recharging is important. And the modern science of sport is diet is absolutely crucial. We need the right food. And the food is God's word. Fine-tuning. Last year, the coach of the British Cyclists was asked, what's the secret of the British cycling success? Because in a matter of a decade or so, they come from nowhere. And they obviously have been chased by the other teams. And he says, one of the things we do is we tend to find detail. Do you know, when they go on training camps, they take their own pillow with them. They just may get a bit better sleep that night with their own pillow. Now, there's a lot of fine-tuning we need to be watching about as well. You know, it's making sure there's no distraction. A lot of precocious talent just goes off the rails. You see it with footballers who love the good life too much beer, everything else. but you get people like Ryan Giggs who's still playing for Premier Division football at 40. We've got distractions as well. We just need to stay on that path, on the right focus. Because their success is for a very short period of time. They have a very short career. Our career is much, much longer, isn't it? And also the end is hope as a legacy to inspire others. You know, if you're there's more people probably playing tennis now than there was 5 years ago, because Andy Murray's had success. And maybe another 10, 15 years' time, I'm sure Andy Murray was inspired by Tim Henman, where he went to. But I want to look at, I could talk for hours, but I want to look at just three areas really. First one is vision. Second is not settling for second best. And third is reaching our goal. Now, I feel we just need to dream to find a vision and a purpose of where we're going. And we need to take steps towards that dream. Otherwise, it remains a fantasy. You may remember studying Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. We also did John Bevere's, don't we, Draw Near to God. And James 4 says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Now, you may be blessed with the right vision from an early age. A couple of weeks ago, sheltering up the rain, I met a guy called Paul. And I found out that he was first year as a curate. I asked him, when did you decide to become going to the church? When I was 7. I was at a Christian camp. He was 7. Now, I'm sorry, my initial vision was totally inadequate and inappropriate. In my 20s, to be honest with you, I was a very nominal Christian. I had been confirmed. I believed there was a God. I accepted that Jesus was God's son. I knew absolutely nothing about the Holy Spirit, just the name Holy Ghost. I thought I'd get to heaven if I lived a reasonably good life. We went to church some of the time, partly out of habit. I rather shudder at saying the Bible was just an interesting history book. I had a veneer of religiosity. I was still playing in the back garden. However, the seeds had been set, and I just felt there was more. Now, to be honest with you, we rather drifted into St. Andrew's. And it was really because there was children's ministry. We got some good teaching, started forming a few good habits, disciplines, regular attendance, more reading the Bible, etc. It's a bit like playing, like you, it's a bit like playing the under-14s and looking up to those playing in the first 11 or first 15. You know, it was getting there. But I don't know about you, I mean, it's one of the truths of life is that much of our character and outlook, it's affected by how we have been brought up, events at home, school, and hurts inflicted. My parents were very good in many areas. However, when I was small, I feel they were not that good at affirming their love or giving me their time, possibly resulting in me trying to be good to get attention and approval. And to be honest with you, I ask myself sometimes, is my business part of that still? We might have difficulty in accepting that we do not need to earn God's love, that we are worthy, that Christ died for us personally. Difficulty in trusting, maybe from a parent or spouse leaving the family, maybe from a parent dying at a young age, from a close friend betraying confidences. Often people, unfortunately, have had harsh words said over them. You will never be any good. Fear of not being in control. Fear of surrendering one's life, one's finances, of being emotional. Now, it's very easy to settle for second best, Just imagine if Andy Murray had settled at being Scottish junior boy champion. It does happen. Now we need to throw off everything that hinders. You know, some of these restraining personality fears and past hurts have a habit of keep resurfacing. You know, if that is you, if you haven't overcome them, just come forward for prayer. Now, there may be seasons when it's difficult to go deeper, but don't settle, or you may get too comfortable. Harry should know this one. Golfers sometimes have to reconstruct their swing or their technique, don't they? For us, it might be checking our motives. Are we really seeking God? Do we really love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? Is Jesus really the centre of our lives? Is our relationship right? I have to watch out for pride in working in my own strength. But I can go back to God because we live under grace. We all have different gifts and abilities. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're physically unable to do things, you haven't got gifts and abilities to use. You have. It's those words, that kindness, everything else. But in the parable of the talents, you know, Jesus doesn't slate off the guy who only got 5 rather than 10. But he reserves his condemnation for the guy who did nothing. For the guy who did nothing. Now, athletes talk about no pain, no gain. And pushing the point of failure so that muscles grow. It's easy to allow the fear of rejection or of failure to stop us stepping out. But what did Jesus say? Do not fear, for I'm always with you. Some of the key points I picked up from New Wine were faith is spelt R-I-S-K. All we have to do is to make ourselves available. God has the ability. The more we sow, the more we reap. No matter what our age is or what stage in our life, let's raise our sights and choose to finish strong. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Next year, we've got a mission. And I believe that the key element is getting ourselves prepared. Getting ourselves prepared now going forward. Coming back to the reading, Hebrew 11 is all about faith. We're not in an age or part of the world where we know people who lost their lives because of their faith. But we do know inspiring people who have held on to their faith even through suffering. So when we enter the mall with those cheering crowds, I can just picture seeing perhaps people like Brian Locke in the crowd, Daphne Dufton, Roger Parander. But I also have a picture of one lady who is screaming in a most animated fashion. And that is Phyllis trying to cheer home the Mark's Tay crew. Because she will be, won't she? You can just see it. But the question I ask you is, what would be like said at our funeral? If we were at our funeral and could hear what was being said, you know, what would it be? I don't think I'd want to really hear much about my career, but perhaps we'd like to hear about our character and what we have done for others because of our relationship with Jesus. You know, are we pointing others to Christ? So I just ask you now, just open our ears to our coach. the Holy Spirit and just ask him to show what steps you want to take to get on the best course possible. Because we need to finish strong and we need to finish gloriously for Jesus' sake. Amen.